Ladies and gentlemen, the sound of the weekend. We are here. Happy Friday. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 608 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I said yes. And eat Pop-Tarts. I didn't bring any. But it is what it is. It's a Friday football frenzy.
Fantastic.
We're going to toss the pigskin around. I don't know if Greg's strong enough to actually throw Rosie O'Donnell, but we'll give it a shot. We're going to talk to Bill Allen, former Gator, of course.
Yeah.
Doug Johnson, former Gator, former Buchholz player. We're going to get some of the, you know, scoop. Maybe some inside stuff. What's going to go on with the game? How's this new coach? You know, size them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
See what they think, okay? Having been integral parts of the Gator football program. Saturday night in the Swamp, 7:45, taking on FAU. FAU. F-A-U?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with something here.
No, it works.
Okay. All right. So that is going on at no shortage of celebration with other things, too. The Trump money is out.
Oh, yeah.
And the big money is on Trump because Trump is on the big money. But what I really want to talk about is Maria Bartiromo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I admit, like many other males in this nation, I have a little bit of a TV crush. An innocent crush.
Yeah.
I've never emailed her.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Never sent any pictures.
Good. That's for good things.
I never got arrested for any kind of thing like
That's
that.
That's even better.
And, but I always thought she was cutie pie.
Oh, yeah.
Something about her.
Yeah.
And she's no spring chicken, but I'm not either. We've aged gracefully together, me and Maria.
Right.
But, yeah, the reason I want to talk about her, I don't know if you know this yet, Greg, she's the new press secretary.
I know that was the rumor. I knew she was leaving, and that was the rumor of where she was going. I just had not seen confirmation yet. Or is this a Bob Rose prediction?
Put me on that betting site where you can bet on anything.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
Yeah, and so, but you know what? The odds now are like, we probably can't make any money on it. And then there's the off chance that maybe that's not the gig that she's going to.
No.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
I would think so.
Why would Fox dump her? Why would she dump Fox? Mm. The only reason you do that is you want to serve your country. You want to serve in a capacity that is still going to, you're going to be in the limelight.
Yep.
It doesn't pay diddly squat. Nobody does it for the money. But after that kind of gig, and you can write your ticket, a couple of books, you're all set. Not that Maria is not set already. She is set and jet set and has been a jet setter for a while now because all the tycoons. Yeah, before there were oligarchs, there were tycoons, Greg.
Thanks, Bernie.
And and she knows plenty of tycoons and they know her. And, of course, if I was a tycoon, I'd be like, hey, the private jets down at LaGuardia. Come on. Let's take her for a spin. Just as a friend.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
President Trump praised Maria Bartiromo as a true warrior.
Ooh. Okay.
I could see her singing, I Am a Warrior.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
That was a girl that didn't know what her last name was. Was it Smith or Smythe? She couldn't make up her mind.
I still
go
back and forth on that one.
And predicted that it's always someone else's fault that they don't know how to say their name.
Yeah,
I try to correct them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, learn to spell it first off. Come on.
Okay.
You know.
Anyway, and predicted fans of the longtime Fox News host will not be happy after she abruptly was axed from the cable giant. That's the one thing that seems odd.
It does.
And the lefties, what propaganda they're putting out is they said Fox told her lay off the being so pro-Trump. And it was a specific thing that she was very pro of. It had to do with business. So it's not like she was, doing propaganda for him. But that's again, it's another rumor.
Right.
And that she didn't necessarily. Oh, no. She sent a copy of the memo to the White House. Allegedly. Oh. Allegedly.
Okay.
And Fox got irritated and candor, but I... Sorry, I don't see that being the dealio,
yeah.
But nobody's denying that Fox let her go. Maybe it was too obvious if she resigned.
See,
I don't know.
That would have been what you'd expect if the next gig is opening up. She's like, okay, hey, love being here, but I got to take this opportunity.
Well, okay, let's just say she really rubbed them the wrong way.
Okay.
She doesn't have the gig lined up. Let's take that route for now.
Right.
She worked there for 12 and a half years. She brought in ratings. She got brought in money. She brought in stature. She brought some fans with her, okay? And so Fox, even if they canned her, what they would do is say, we'd like you to resign.
Yeah.
That's how they would do that.
This is a little weird. This is the weird part.
Yeah, the fact that they, you know,
yeah,
they let her go. What they did was they let her go out of her contract so that she could go and serve as the next press secretary to President Trump.
Okay.
Again, not fact.
Right.
It's a Bob Rose fact. It will be a fact. I'm just early on the fact train.
I get it.
You know I'm a truth teller.
I know.
Now, it doesn't mean I'm always right, especially when it comes to prognostications.
But this is what a lot of folks are thinking. They have to be if they're thinking at all.
It's a great fit.
Sure it is.
It really is. Now, she's not going to have the same style as Caroline Leavitt.
Right.
Not the same style. Everybody's just a little different.
Yeah.
Her responses are going to be measured in a different way. She has, she has veteran written all over her.
Oh, yeah.
She is a great student of the game, anything on the side of economics, and then even beyond that.
Yeah.
I think she would be a great choice. I think she is going to be the choice.
Yeah.
But we don't know that for sure yet. Mm. All right. So we'll wait on that. Here's something that's going on it's creating some controversy and a mess. The scene outside a district court just miles away from LSU's campus was the epicenter of college athletics as the NCAA and the SEC appeared in court to argue their case against athletes with NFL ties returning to college athletics. That's something I'm going to run by Bill Allen because he's an attorney and a former Gator player.
Right.
And his son was a standout all-star baseball player at Ole Miss. And then Doug Johnson, of course, having run the gamut there as quarterback of the Gators and his experiences, to try to get their take on what they think about an NFL a player that signs with the NFL and then wants to come back to the college game.
Right.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Hmm.
Look, everything changed when this NIL money was pumped into the system. They became professional football players at that point.
Right.
It's not like we have to protect amateur status. It's not like the Olympics demand amateur status anymore and haven't for years. So it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. But it's Go Gators time. Saturday, 7:45 in the Swamp, taking on FAU. That game will be on the SEC Network. All right. Right now, though, you're listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy weekend, my friends. All's fair in love and war in politics. Yeah, but if you cross the legal line, you could be in a little bit of trouble. Good morning and welcome. Happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 6:21, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, everybody wants to win when they're running. Campaigns are no different, right? You get people, you surround yourself with people, they're good people. Oh, part of it is maybe digging up some dirt on your opponent.
It happens.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
but you could cross the line.
Uh-oh.
A Republican candidate for the Missouri State House. And you know you can't trust anybody from Missouri.
Well, they're in the state of Missouri.
Greg.
What?
Huh? No, I'm just kidding. Usually people from there are pretty good people. Yeah. Actually, Midwest values. Mm-hmm. A Republican candidate for Missouri State House facing federal drug charges.
Uh-oh.
Well, hey, we all run into problems, you know?
It happens.
But drugs, that's not good if you want to hold office. But wait, they weren't like his drugs. You know when they say, oh, officer, I don't know anything about that. That's not mine.
I don't know how they got blew in the window. Yeah,
they've
heard that
a few times. Now, every once in a while, it's actually true. But the vast majority, it's yours or you knew it was there. But here's what this guy did.
Uh-oh.
He was putting together a plot to frame his political opponent by planting cocaine and prescription pills in her purse.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm going to make you look like a druggie. But then you get caught with the drugs. It's like,
before you have a chance to pass them along.
I think John Lennon had a word for that. It was called, two words, instant karma.
Yeah.
Thomas Christopher Ross, 37, made his initial court appearance Thursday. And he faced one count of conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance. According to DOJ, he conspired with his former campaign manager to stash narcotics among the personal property of his Republican rival.
Unreal.
And that's worse. If you were doing it to a Democrat, you know, we'd let...
Yeah, because I just hadn't got caught yet anyway.
Yeah. Of course we're kidding.
Of course,
mostly. Louise Secker. Ahead of the state's August primary, according to an unsealed FBI affidavit, the campaign manager reportedly flipped on Ross and wore a wire to catch him in a sting operation.
Whoa!
So there's one lesson here. Don't plant drugs on the other person. That's number one. Number two, if you're going to hire somebody to run your campaign, you might want to make sure that they understand the L word. You know what the L word is?
Loyalty.
Circle gets the square.
Oh,
you get it.
I was worried for a
Greg
moment.
Gets it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Next time around, when you're out of prison and stuff, and you're running for office again, which doesn't seem to stop anybody anymore. So, once you're out, you hire a campaign manager that is loyal to you. The circumstances of his arrest are serious and deeply troubling, so says the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party, Peter Kinder. And being the Republican nominee for public office carries with it responsibilities to the voters, the community, and the principles our party represents. Given the seriousness of the situation, I believe the right course of action is clear and called on him to drop out. Candidates are expected to conduct their campaigns with integrity, honesty, and respect for their opponents. Well, let's not be fake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like
let's keep it real. The guy's in trouble. The guy obviously made a horrendously bad call.
Yeah.
But don't go the other way and start telling us about honesty, integrity, and respect when you're talking about a campaign, Republican or Democrat.
That's
Let's be honest.
A little holier than thou going on there.
Yeah, yes. So anyway, he's in big trouble. The staffer said that he was asked by Ross to plant a baggie of cocaine and a prescription amphetamine pill, both given to him by Ross, inside Secker's purse or car. And the drugs were meant to be planted while Ross was out of town. So just like a good politician, he understands that, you know, deniability.
That's amazing.
The campaign staffer, though, wore a wire during an encounter at Ross's home. The outlet said court records show how the campaign manager told Ross he still had the bag and Addies and asked whether Ross still wanted the drugs planted on his opponent. He reportedly responded in the affirmative, according to court documents, and the pair also sent numerous text messages discussing the conspiracy that Ross suggested, quote, would be extreme egg on the face of Secker.
Tacky, tacky.
Yeah. Like I said, there's your karma that comes right back on you. Yeah, I get it that you want to win.
Right.
It's not win at all costs.
No.
And there's also a certain, yeah, there's like, if you have that aversion to honesty and integrity, you're willing to stoop that low, which, by the way, wouldn't just knock her out of the campaign, could result in doing time.
Sure.
She could have a felony on her record. I mean, you're not just kicking her out of the race. You're changing possibly the course of her life.
The rest of her career.
I mean, that's scuzzy, everything. Man.
That's bad.
Yeah. When you can say it's scuzzy and you're already talking about politics,
yes.
that's nasty.
Extra bad.
Ugh.
And you're low enough to go that route. Well, you don't need to be in the position anyway. What a loser you are.
Hey, you know, I've talked about this, and we've talked about, and we'll talk about, you know, AI and data centers ad nauseum, and we'll continue. I just want to point this out. The same hard left network behind No Kings and other protests is leading the battle against data centers and flock surveillance cameras. You heard me. The same hard left network. These group of antagonizers and that, you know, behind No Kings.
Right.
Is also against data centers and flock surveillance cameras. Growing protests from San Francisco to North Carolina, the activists and organizers associated with the same ecosystem that railed against President Donald Trump, Israel, Elon Musk, Tesla, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement over the last 2 years are now taking on data center construction and license plate readers. And the overlap, as I said, includes organizations funded by pro-China, Shanghai-based tech tycoon Neville Roy Singham. So when there I told you there was Chinese influence behind this stuff, there you go. Okay? That's part of their propaganda machine. They don't want us to build data centers because they want to control the data. More on that coming up, 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Football Friday on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy Friday. Football Friday. It is 6:38 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to former Gator football player and attorney Bill Allen. And we're going to ask him some Gator-related questions and also some football-related questions like, yeah, what do you think about somebody who signed with the NFL and then they want to come back and play college ball? That's died up in the courts as we speak.
Yep.
And also, Doug Johnson, will have him in the 9 o'clock hour, former Gator, and definitely did a several stints in the NFL, several different teams. So he'll have insight into that as well. And, of course, we want to get their prognostications. Are the Gators for real? Is this coach going to – you know, a lot of expectations. They're very high. First year is always challenging. And then you throw in the portal and the NIL and all that other mess. I mean, coaching was stressful enough before, and I'm not going to shed a tear for all of them. They make millions when they get to that level, but it is hard work. You are sacrificing a lot of your life, a lot of your free time. It's intense. And now you add all these other things into it. Ugh, it's not it's a tough gig. It really is.
Sure it is.
Again, they're getting paid handsomely for it. I get that.
But it's more complicated now.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. They've added a whole other level of complexity.
Oh, and at the same time, you think anybody's lowered their standards? Like, oh, yeah, you know, you win 8 games, you know, this year. We're good. Uh-huh. You can do that for a year or two, but not much longer, not anymore. Not in the SEC, not in the Big Ten, not in the Big Time. Maria, I'm trying out for West Side Story.
Really?
To be a Jet.
Wow.
No, actually, Donald Trump
Oh.
could be singing Maria. very soon, as in Maria Bartiromo. Yes,
okay.
Longtime Fox News, Fox Business, longtime Fox, Maria Bartiromo. She got canned by Fox News 12 and a half years in bye-bye?
Yeah.
So the speculation begins. She is going to be the next press secretary for Donald J. Trump. Mm. I am fueling what is now just a rumor,
yeah,
but I am fueling it.
You're fanning the flame.
And I'm a fan.
Uh-huh.
Maria. We're going to sing that song today. If I could sing.
Yes.
I know what you're thinking, Greg. I could hear you out loud.
Was I thinking really loud? Was I...
Hey, listen. This lady's in trouble. This is not a brand new story, but more stuff is coming out. I'm talking about the former Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer. Do you remember this one? Allegedly maintained an inappropriate relationship with her bodyguard. She was the Labor Secretary.
Right.
Okay. Ordered a member of her security detail to drop cash on partially nude dancers during an Oregon strip club visit. This according to the Inspector General and a report that was just released yesterday. Now, look, I'm going to come to her defense. Okay, first of all.
Okay.
If you're really a bodyguard,
right,
and she shows up, you know, naked and says, are you going to guard my body or not? I mean, you're kind of putting the guy on the spot.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a job to do.
Right.
Okay? So that, and then you go to a strip club, it's like, wait a second. She's using her own cash to drop money on these dancers.
Okay.
Well, guess what? You don't think that's labor? You don't think you're a worker? They're working their butts off. You can see it. I mean, you know, you can see that they...
Yes, literally, yeah.
She's the labor secretary. You think she wants to take care of laborers? I think she was doing a heck of a job.
Okay.
She resigned in April, 3 months after the Post first reported on the Inspector General probe. And I don't... into her relationship with security guard Brian Sloan, allegations she abused her position as a top Trump administration official. They concluded that a preponderance of the evidence sustained multiple violations of Labor Department policy. Oh, policy schmolicy. All right? She was having a good time at the club and having a good time on vacation, allegedly like an off-the-record vacation.
Okay, what's that?
How much can you afford, you know, even though you're in the Trump cabinet? You know those positions don't pay a huge amount of money.
Off the record, as in you're just not working, but they think you are?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that off the record?
But apparently she developed and maintained an inappropriately close and unprofessional relationship with her bodyguard while he exercised supervisory and operational authority over her protective detail that was inconsistent with federal impartiality and preferential treatment standards. He also failed to comply with DOL policy prohibiting harassment in the workplace. The IG noted that there was not sufficient evidence to establish that Chavez de Remer and Sloan engaged in a romantic or sexual relationship. Huh. So maybe he wasn't the consummate bodyguard that we initially thought. The Watchdog report also confirmed and detailed a April 2025 incident, first reported by the Post, involving de Remer and taking subordinates, including her body man, to an Oregon strip club. Hey, you go out in the woods, one person falls backwards, two people catch them. That's it. That's team building exercise.
Right.
You go to a strip club, you have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You all know who the pervs are you're working with. That's team building.
Wow. That's a perspective.
I might be taking maybe the wrong position on some of this.
Possibly so.
When the agent resisted and sought guidance from Sloan, he instructed him to comply with the request. Chavez de Remer then took additional money from her purse and asked the agent to drop the bills one by one onto the partially nude woman. Now, I don't know if this is in the IG report, but I think we know the term for that. Make it rain. Make it rain. Well, she's out of a gig. She goes out of her way to protect people who are laboring. You know? She's the labor secretary.
Visiting them on the job, you might say.
And now she's the bad guy.
Wow.
How the tables turn when you're paying for table dances. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And the Trump coin is out. Big man on the big money. More on that coming up on News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Yeah.
And here we are. It's Friday. I don't even have to say pump it up. I don't have to say grab the day, seize the diem and all that. I don't have to say that. I don't have to say somebody's moving your cheese and you need to kick their butts. Because you know that already. You haven't heard that? You didn't read the book back in the, what was it, the 2000-ish?
No, that's a new one on me.
Somebody moved your cheese or something like that. Or
really?
Don't move my cheese, or they're moving your cheese. And
I missed that one.
It was a corporate thing where corporate handed out books to people going, this is our nice way of saying, your job could be going away, pal.
Yeah, get motivated and do something.
But they handed them out to everybody. I'm like, whoa.
Well, at least they're equal opportunity.
Yeah. It's funny, under one regime, this goes way back, not here, different places, but one regime like really wanted to like empower you,
right?
You know, and they paid for the Dale Carnegie courses for the whole staff. And back then, there actually were staffs on radio stations, and and they paid for that. And you know, that is empowering.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like it doesn't teach you necessarily about loyalty per se. In other words, you got to look out for number one. You got to look out for yourself, and it really does. It empowers you. And I thought, wow. Oh, and we didn't have like a non-compete clause in the contract. They're like, well, if you're not happy working here and somebody else wants to offer you a job, why would we stand in the way?
That's fair.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So that company didn't last long.
Yeah, everybody
they
left.
They got bought up. No, because they were doing so well, they got bought up.
That makes sense.
By somebody else, and then things changed. And these classes were already paid for.
Right.
Under the new regime, they said, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. It's like, it's already paid for. We've been to, what, 7 of the 9 or whatever it was,
right.
The majority of them. You don't want us to at least finish, graduate, quote-unquote, and all that?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. We finally talked them into letting us go to, like, I don't know, 1 or 2 more, did a shortened thing, got it. But,
interesting.
But, yeah.
And I was like, motivating.
Well, and you had the non-competes, and they had, you know what I mean? They were like, it was more corporate. Big corporate.
We own you.
Big, yeah. But anyway, somehow I survived after reading the book. They moved your cheese.
They moved your cheese.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, it's great information. This was telling you, hey, the world is changing. It's always been changing, but now things are going to start to speed up. And this is way before talk of AI and supercomputers and all that. But computers were coming up.
Right.
Anyway, they said, you know, things are changing more rapidly. And you need to adjust and adapt for that. What are the skills that you can bring to the table? You can't just be a warm body.
Right.
And it wasn't bad information.
Right. I remember years ago, one of those radio seminar conventions we were at. And again, just like you said, the whole computer thing was really moving into the industry. And I'll never forget the line. Saying that you're not a computer guy now is like saying, well, you know, I'm not really a telephone guy. It's like, if that's where you are, you're behind already. And that line just stuck with me all these decades later.
Well, when they came out with the, you know, how to work on the music and
software,
you know,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was like, somebody goes, hey, you know how to use that? And I go, yeah, I use the file cards. And I'm like, oh, and I go, what do you think that program is 100% based on?
File cards.
Bozo.
Absolutely. It just does it for you.
It's like, I'm ahead of the curve.
It's the exact same
thing. I'll teach you how to do it. Anyway, you've heard the name Ty Cobb, not the famous baseball player, the Georgia Peach.
That's who I think of first.
He used to go into second base sliding high. And Greg, when he wasn't out on the field, he was on the bench taking a file to his metal spikes.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, Ty Cobb, he going high.
Ooh.
It'd leave you bloody.
Wow.
Some think that he might have taken a file to his teeth because they saw him gnawing one time on a shortstop's ankle. Okay, I exaggerated just a tad.
Well.
Because I'm a fan.
Okay.
The Georgia Peach, Ty Cobb, played for the Tigers. My dad saw him play when my dad was little.
Wow. That's
kind of
cool.
Well, my dad.
Yeah. Older.
Well, my dad's really old now, but he's in heaven, so yeah. I don't think you age up there. Hi, Dad.
You quit counting.
What's up, Dad?
But that's not the Ty Cobb that's making headlines.
No, it's the one who was an attorney for Donald Trump, but boy, I don't think they're buddies anymore.
Doesn't sound like it.
So he's on MS Now, or whatever you want to call it, you know, Chinese Communist TV.
Yeah.
Host Peter Alexander, you've been very outspoken, Ty Cobb, about this issue of non-citizens voting. You've warned that the president is, to use your language, attacking every card in the deck. What legal guardrails exist if the president does something severe, like, say, declare a national emergency? Okay, first of all, that is a far-fetched, made-up, lefty, weirdo stuff.
Yep.
That he is going to do that. That's fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So Ty Cobb says, so it's very difficult in the face of the president declaring a national emergency, invoking the Insurrection Act for the courts to respond to in a timely way that would actually get troops off the streets or out of polling places. I think that's definitely what he intends. Really?
Okay.
That is certainly the reason that he and Stephen Miller and Todd Blanche, along with DHS officials, have flooded the zone, are investigating the states, trying to run down voter rolls in a way that accumulates numbers that will be fraudulent, of course, suggesting that non-citizens are voting. Then he cites a thing from the Heritage Foundation, which generally is a good source of information. He said when they investigated the issue of non-citizen voting, they only found somewhere between 77 and 95 actual incidents of non-citizen voting over a 20-year period in early 2000s. So this is not a real scenario. God, how do I address all that? First of all, how many didn't get caught? They never, ever hardly get caught. We already know that. And he says non-citizens are not voting, basically, is what he's saying. Maybe they're not voting. Some Democrat flunkies voting for them using a ballot that never should have been sent to them. Now you see how he has this plausible kind of deniability where he goes, I said non-citizens.
Nice try.
Are not voting.
Yeah.
So he's doing that. And by the way, it sounds like Trump is doing everything in his power to make sure that these elections will have authenticity.